This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
On today's podcast, you realise that we don't have Cantona with us. Very surprising reason why. So we talk about endorsements and match bonuses and how lucrative they can be. Also, I have my rant of the season. Hello and welcome to That Peter Crouch Podcast. I've got the notorious SID and Chris Stark with me as usual. How are we, boys? Okay?
Really good. I'm top of the world. Really, really good. Yeah. How are you, lads?
Yeah. All good. All good.
I'm still recording.
I know you're very unwell at the moment, Pete. So we're in a weird situation where me and Sids are in the pub and we're watching you on a screen here, and you're in your home, right?
I am in my home. Yeah. I'm still here. I've had a tough time, to be honest. I'm still in the process of just getting better. I'm in that process where I feel like I'm fine, and I want to kind of get out and at them, but Ab's kind of holding me back. And although she means well, you know, she's been an amazing nurse looking after me because I haven't been great. I've kind of got to the stage now where she's keeping the shackles on me. She is kind of like Florence Nightingale. It's become Florence Nightmaringale now.
Talk us through how she is as a nurse then. What do you mean? Like, how's she doing this so well? Talk us through it, please, Pete.
Well,
I don't know where this is going to go.
Florence Nightmaringale, she is great. She worries, that's the problem. And then, like, when I feel like I'm better, I do it every time. And I think it's just probably a male trait where you think, I'm fine now. It's, you know, but yeah, she's probably right. I need to rest. Not do too much. But yeah, I'm trying to overexert me. But she's feeding me up now quite heavily. And it's like a child. I'm sitting there, I'm like, I can't eat anymore, Mum. And she's forcing it down me, saying that you've got to be stronger. So that's where we are at the moment.
Mate, I've got the opposite problem at the moment. I'm trying to eat less. Now, we touched on this in the last podcast. Trying a couple of things. I'm trying a bit of exercise. I'm trying to eat less. Apparently that works. But that's so difficult. So you've got the opposite to me. You're getting loads of food and I'm eating a lot less and just trying to be happy. It's a weird one.
Mm. Yeah.
Very weird one.
Yeah. But you know what? We've kind of got into the food situation without actually addressing the fact that we're boring everyone to tears about how we're feeling. We're supposed to have Cantona on today.
Oh, where do we start with this? So yes, we obviously did a whole episode largely focused on the brilliance of Cantona ahead of our chat with him, which was going to be this podcast. And actually this morning, we were expecting that chat to go ahead. And then we got messages, a couple of hours ago?
Yeah, well, it was basically like, I'm not very well. You know, I couldn't kind of come in. We wanted to do it properly. So we've just postponed it. It will happen, but at the moment it's been postponed. And we would have loved to have him on. But there was one slight issue we had with the chat. And that was we were told quite late on that there would be absolutely no football chat with Eric. So I thought it was slightly strange considering we're a football podcast and he's a footballer we very much admire. But he is pursuing a career in music.
I mean, it's pure Maverick style, isn't it? The Maverick that he is, he can kind of do what he wants. But it was a bit left field, wasn't it? I was so geared up to ask him certain things. And now I'm thinking, all right, well, you know, we was obviously going to touch on the singing and acting career, but the bulk of it now, it's
because interesting. To be fair, that's just what you normally do. Like if he's got music and obviously we want to learn so much about that, but it's Eric Cantona. So obviously you naturally will talk about both. You talk about the football and you talk about that. But the idea you don't talk about any football, I think, is just brilliant and so Cantona.
It's him,
and I would
it's
have
him,
loved
like, only
this
he
so much.
Get away with that. Imagine being Eric Cantona and going, I'm not talking about any football whatsoever.
Oh, I love it. It's so good.
What a man. And
genuinely, I'm quite fascinated to have a conversation with him, you know, quite a long conversation with Eric Cantona on this podcast where we don't talk about football once. I think it's genius from the guy.
Yeah, there was also a warning to say that if we do, he's just going to walk out. And I thought it would almost be even better than just saying goodbye if he just rolled off.
Just terminates it there and then.
But how
he just
does
terminated.
I get it with me, right? Because of my job and that. But like, it's almost more difficult for you two and Eric Cantona to have a conversation without it naturally going towards football. Like, it's obscenely difficult for you boys to not mention it.
I don't know what we talk about. I'm just thinking if I walk past Eric Cantona in the street, said, "Oh, Eric, how's things?" And then like my obviously I'd ask him what he's up to now, and he'd, you know, singing whatever, and you know, it'd be difficult to not speak about football in the slightest.
But then again, with Elton John, we spoke more about football than we did the music, didn't we?
He was much more comfortable talking about football than he was his music, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, talking of Eric and he's singing, have you seen him perform on Michael McIntyre?
I've not seen it.
You've seen
I heard
this.
It was,
this was a couple of weeks ago. It's
something.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
You have to watch it.
What music is it that he's doing? This is the thing. I'd love to be having this chat with him.
It was like a love ballad, wasn't it? It was a kind of sort of low pitched, deep thinking song, but without singing. You need to watch it to believe
like,
it.
Have you
it's
seen
crazy, honestly. It's incredible.
Have you seen Nick Knowles sing? Is it like that?
No, I've not seen him sing.
Have you seen that, Crouchy?
No, I haven't seen
You've
Nick Knowles.
You've never heard.
No.
His version of Adele, "Feel My Love."
Shut up! Really? Joking?
Do you want a bit?
Yeah, go on. Get it out. Go on. Right. Give us a blast.
Bear with. Go.
When the rain is blowing in your face and the whole world is on your case, I could offer you a warm embrace to make you feel my love. When the evening shadows and the stars appear and there's no one there to dry your tears, I could hold you for a million years to make you feel my love.
I actually think that's decent.
So, yeah.
That's the make of that. He's gone with no music as well. Like, there was no music in that at all.
He was playing the guitar, wasn't he?
He's playing the guitar and singing there. Yeah, yeah.
Thoughts?
Well, who knew?
Yeah, this is what I mean. I like people that are stepping out and doing something else with their career.
It kind of sounds like he's put that holiday voice on. Yeah, where you sort of go into that foreign Spanglish.
Oh, yeah, like a Steve McLaren.
Like he's gone like a deep...
Like a Joey Barton interview.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't sound like his natural voice, that.
I really
think it's great.
Really,
well, that's better than Eric's, I've got to say.
Yeah, what is it?
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
He's okay. He could be a shout for Crouchfest, you know, Nick Knowles.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe a different song.
Yeah. Eric Cantona or Nick Knowles.
Oh my God, can you imagine Eric Cantona doing Crouchfest? I mean, that's the thing. We'd love him on this podcast so much. And if he... I think he's earned the privilege. You know, we did a whole episode about some of the brilliance of Eric Cantona. I think as a footballer, would you boys agree, he's earned the right to come on a football podcast and not talk about football?
He certainly has, yeah. If anyone can, it's him. Yeah. I agree. Listen, stay tuned for this one. I apologise we haven't got him this week. It sums us up as a podcast. What just talking about Ab as we were before, I got in touch with Cara Vorderman. Do you remember we asked about who's kicked off more, me throughout my professional career or Abby throughout our marriage? Well, Carol's got back with some stats for us. Would you like to hear them?
Please.
In Crouch's professional club career, he kicked off a grand total of 1,207 times. Pia's been with Ab for 20 years, 12 years of marriage, and she's gotten more prolific as she had later in their career. So assuming before marriage it was once a week and factoring in the honeymoon period, that would have been 468 times. In the latter years, San Marino has become more prolific, kicking off now twice a day. So by factoring in the gradual increase in this, we can conclude that since being married, San Marino's kicked off 3,710, giving her a grand total of 4,178 kickoffs, making her almost 3.5 times more prolific than Peter when it comes to kicking off. However, this is not factoring in Pete's youth career or the international breaks.
Okay, so that's an interesting take on it, because when you're considering whether Abs has kicked off with Pete more or less times than Pete's kicked off, should you include the youth career as part of that?
I mean, I wouldn't put the youth career in there. The international should probably come in there, which is going to bump that up, but nowhere near as prolific as Abs.
No, I mean, and even if you include those two things, I don't think it touches the sides. If you're saying Abby kicks off 3.5 times more than Pete has done, even with those games, it's not going to...
Yeah, unbelievable stats.
Yeah, is she in the house at the moment, Pete?
No, that's why I'm discussing it.
You just look very confident as you were saying it.
I just heard the door go and thought, right, I'll bring this one up now.
Has San Marino seen this stat?
No, she hasn't actually.
Right, okay.
No.
I think she'd be quietly pleased with being prolific.
Well, it's unbelievable.
I think so.
This is, well, okay. Pete, it's such a shame Valentine's Day isn't coming up, because it'd be amazing to write all of this in a card and just see how it goes down.
Yeah. Prolific. Absolutely prolific. Fantastic. All right. Should we get into the pod, lads?
Let's do it.
Okay, guys, listen up. Crouch here. I've got a question for you before we get into this week's episode. Lads behind the scenes have told me that only 20% of our Wednesday episode listeners are tuning in for the Football Friday show. I want to change that. So hit that follow button and you'll have exclusive access to our world-class wit, football insights and too hot for TV content that didn't make the original cut. Don't be the one to miss out. Hit follow now. Let the good times roll with that Peter Crouch podcast. Right, so today's podcast is player endorsements. And it's something that, like, I don't know, you don't hear many players kind of talk about, really. Like, obviously, we've had the kind of boot deals. There's been adverts and various sponsorships. Certainly with England as well, the FA will have their sponsors. And just wanted to kind of dig down into how they work, really, and what they do. And it is interesting. I remember certainly my agent came around to my house when I was 14 years old, and my first kind of, I think, foray into like gear or, you know, stuff that I was given was when he kind of bought me with a box of Adidas stuff, all the new Adidas gear, a couple of pairs. I had a pair of studs, pair of molds, and he brought this box around for me. And I was like, right, where do I sign?
That seems to be the first port of call, isn't it, with all agents with youngsters now. It's literally a case of, if you want Adidas, if you want Nike, Puma, whatever you want, it's the case of, right, yeah, we can put you straight in contact with him and even bring the goods round. And I think that's the first, it definitely sucks you in.
Since when you were playing, who were you sponsored by?
So I was sponsored by Adidas when I was at Reading. It was, I had a little stint with Puma. And they took us down to the head offices, showed you around, you know, all the, they partnered up with Ferrari, wasn't it? And the F1 as well at some point. So it was a case of that sort of market come into it as well. But the majority was Adidas.
Was that the kit manufacturer of Reading at the time?
Yes. Yeah.
So do you all naturally then get signed up to that as part of the deal? Or
no.
So that's a strange one. Yeah. So you find that the brand are selecting certain players.
Yeah, because, yeah, they just, you know, it was, well, we had a handful of probably players that could have, you know, endorse that. And yeah, I'd done it for about 2 years and I enjoyed it. But Adidas was the main ones for my whole career. They were the main ones and they were great. And they had everyone as well. So,
but when the club are selecting what players, or is it it's more the brand, isn't it? So when the brand are selecting what players at the club they want as kind of,
yeah,
I guess what represents their brand and the club, they're picking five players, bit of a cross section, that kind of thing.
Yep.
Do you find that other players are a bit pissed off about that situation, or is it just unspoken?
Yeah, I think it's that unspoken rule, isn't it, Crouchy? So even one of them where there was probably two or three of us that were sponsored by Puma, but we never discussed what our deals were, because then it was obviously the individual, then it was down to your agents and your PR company to negotiate your terms. So we would have all been on probably different terms.
How you think? Were you the most expensive at Reading, do you reckon?
Probably not. Kevin Doyle was their striker, so he may have had, you know, for every 10 or 15 goals, got a certain amount. So yeah.
Do you get more money if you get the boot in? Like if you get the badge, like if you take your boots off when you celebrate and that kind of thing and wave it in front of the camera.
Well, yeah, didn't Messi do that in the final? Did he take his boot off once?
Ronaldo did that as well, didn't they? Brazilian Ronaldo. I remember those days, like I could talk you through kind of like the contract. Certainly when I got, because I never liked, I like wearing my own, I wore World Cups till I was about 23. And then obviously I got in the England squad and that and the Champions League. And obviously that's where the kind of eyes are on you massively. And that was when, you know, all the kind of boot deals like kind of circulate and you try and pick the best one. I remember when I got in the England squad, there was a toss up between Puma and Umbro. And I remember Michael Owen, kind of Shearer, whatever, like Umbro, weren't they?
Yeah, I remember.
Trying to think who else. And then obviously Puma was the other one that I had. And they were the two big ones. But there was kind of a little bit of jealousy. Like, say if there's like five or six or seven Adidas players in the dressing room and say six Nike players in the dressing room. Like if someone got the boots before someone else who was sponsored by the same, they'd be fuming, they're absolutely fuming. It's like, where are you getting this gear from? How come they're showing you more love than me? And there was definitely that kind of jealousy and hierarchy in regards to it. But certainly when I got in the Champions League, it was like, it would be set out in the contract. If you make an appearance in the Champions League, you'd get paid a certain amount. If you scored a goal in the Champions League, you get a certain amount and it would go up every kind of round you went through. So if you got
a goal bonus from the brand,
yeah,
as well as the club.
Yeah.
Basically, because the goal bonus you wouldn't get for your club, from your club. Like you're paid a great wage. You know, you're a centre forward, you've got to score goals. That's part and parcel. You're just expected to do that.
You did get a goal bonus.
For a brand point of view, it's massive for them. If you score or play in the Champions League or in a World Cup. So when the contract comes through, it's like, right, if you get to the final of the Champions League, you score in a quarter final, or you score in a semi-final, you score in a final, it's actually very lucrative to a player through the sponsor. And the same with, you know, the World Cup. If you get, you know, certain appearances for England, and it might be between, say, 0 and 10 appearances will be a certain amount. Between 10 and 20 appearances will be another amount. And then obviously scoring would be a bonus on top of that.
Is this big money?
Yeah, I mean, the when you're in the Champions League in England, yeah. I've been on the other side of that, come out the other side where I wasn't playing for England. I ended up at Stoke and I'm playing in less kind of televised games, less high profile games. Then obviously that contract comes right down and it's like, it will end up being, you know, I'll get a goal bonus for Premier League goals, but it wouldn't be anything like what I was getting when I was playing for England.
Yeah. It's mad, isn't it? The ones that you say there about the TV games, do you remember when literally post-match interviews, players straight on the pitch or down, more, it was more likely down the tunnel when it first started, but the kit man would always give you, do you remember to always give you a Lucozade bottle, Crouchy?
Yeah.
Because they were sponsored by Lucozade, so they'd be like, literally hold that and then just take a few swigs to get the, because they would be on a sponsorship with Lucozade to go, right, if we endorse you and we get your brand on screen 10 times throughout the season, we'll get another X amount. So they're forever shoving things on you to just get on on TV.
If you look at the kit man, like when a player scored a goal, if you look at like the kit man, or there'll always be someone whose kind of job it is to get the brand out there, and they it kind of like get given like a Lucozade bottle, because I think it's like 500 quid or grand every kind of every time it's shown on the telly, basically.
To the player or to the kit man?
No, to the club. It was then, wasn't it? But I think the person who tries to get it in would definitely get beyond some sort of bonus.
Yeah, they should definitely be on commission. I wasn't aware of these side missions. I mean, you assume it happens, but the players are always having a drink in those interviews. Yeah, I'm going to be so suspicious moving forward.
That's it. You know, like that's the thing. Like, if you see when you do the interviews, like I don't think it happens as much now. Like, there's so much football elsewhere. But this is back in the day when, you know, that kind of revenue was meant a lot. You'd always get given a bottle of whatever was the sponsor was, usually Lucozade back in the day, and you'd do your interview with the bottle of Lucozade.
Pete, do you remember any examples of these sort of outrageous bonuses that you would get for? They are side missions, aren't they, in films?
Incentives, isn't it?
Yeah, well, like, the thing is with the incentives, like the incentives in the Champions League became so big, like, you know, you get to a final, it was like, you know, every game was, I mean, especially for the young lads, if you ever see, you know, some of the young lads on the bench, like they're part of the squad and they win a game. You know, I remember a lot of the lads, there was like Darren Potter, Neil Mellor, Stephen Warnock. A lot of them that were, they got through to Istanbul in 2005. A lot of them were on the bench. If you'd seen how buzzing they were every single game, because those bonuses are like life-changing, you know, for a player on 100 grand a week, there's, you know, it isn't. But to a young lad who's just coming through, I mean, you're talking big, big money, you know, like by the final, you're talking six figures, you know, if you win that game. So those bonuses mean so much, certainly to the young lads and to... Because obviously the revenue that the Champions League is generating is so big for the club. So that's reflected in the bonuses for the players.
But the brand bonuses are a really interesting one. By the way, I thought you got goal bonuses. I thought that was a thing.
No, strikers, I've known strikers to get goal bonuses as well, regardless of how much they're on. Yeah. I know they're paid to score, but there'll be another incentive. Yeah, it won't be every goal. It might just be, right, we can't do every goal, but every time you get, when you get to five, it's X amount. When you get to 10, it's...
Yeah, right. So, but the brand bonuses I find really interesting because, right, let's say it's a drink coming in. What other examples are there? Was your robot celebration actually I'm trying to think who for. Was this?
Well, I'm not going to sit here and say, listen, it was fun and it was really kind of, it was really natural at the time. But there's still been brands that I've been a part of that have paid me money to do the robot. It's ended up being quite lucrative. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. There was a Pringles campaign, which is Pringles, obviously, turned into Pringles for, I think it was a 2006 World Cup. And I was on the bottle, I was on the can, or whatever it is, the tube of Pringles. I think it was me, Fabregas, and Anelka. Might have been one Spanish player as well. David Villa or someone. And I was the English representative. And I remember we'd done a big advert and Anelka was doing his, I don't know if you remember that thing Anelka used to do. Fabregas, I think he might have done like a little Bebeto one in a window. And then I had to do the robot. And I was on the can doing the robot, this kind of thing. And I remember I've got loads of personalized ones. I might have them in this office actually. Ones of, you know, with my name on and things like that. Wherever you went, it was like, it was that. And obviously that was obviously the robot celebration that was, I suppose, good for brands.
Yeah, well, it's not a cheap dance if people want you to do the robot. It's safe to say on this podcast. Yeah. It's probably one of the more expensive dances in the world now. I would say only second to probably the Bolero. From Torvald and Dean.
Yeah.
I imagine wants serious
one of the most expensive,
to do that.
One of the most lucrative dances that's ever been seen.
I mean, other brands
don't even know what that means.
No, that's just what an amazing thing to say. You can have a really distinguished football career and also own one of the world's most expensive dances.
It needs to be patented, doesn't it? I mean, other brands here, Crouchy, it says that that you've been lucky enough to endorse. We've got Bovril, L'Oreal, Ted Baker, Carphone Warehouse. Obviously, we know you do a lot of stuff with Paddy Power, which we'll come on to in a bit, but and M&S.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I've done lots of various bits and pieces. I remember Hyundai giving me a car once, which was amazing. And I remember sitting in, there's a picture of it out there somewhere. You can Google that. It's I'm sitting in this car, that's Hyundai, giving the thumbs up. And I'm at Liverpool at the time. I remember it had a concierge button. Like, they said to me, oh, this is an amazing thing. You'd press this button and someone at Hyundai just answered questions. So it was a bit like Siri, but in the kind of early 2000s. Wow. Like a Hyundai Siri. And I pressed the button and it'd be like, hello? I go, hi. And you could just ask them a question like the internet. Amazing, but it was an actual person. Incredible. Unbelievable. But they were, with England as well, quite a lot of kind of brands. And I think that I was part of the changeover there, you know, where kind of David Beckham was generating so much money, I think, for the FA that I think he kind of intervened and said, I think we should be getting as players, you know, we're kind of generating all this revenue. He didn't say it himself. I think it was Simon Fuller. We had this meeting with Simon Fuller, who was Victoria Beckham's agent at the time. He came in.
Is this the same Simon Fuller that made S Club?
That's right. Yeah. Well, he did. What was the one before? Was it Pop Stars?
Okay. Yeah.
Is that the one before X Factor and all that?
He supposedly is what the S and S Club 7 means.
Is it really?
Simon. Yeah. Because I might be wrong on this, but I think it's true that he set up S Club 7 and named it after himself.
No way.
As you do.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
As you do. Well, anyway, this fellow, he was obviously very, he knew what he was doing. And I think that was the changeover where kind of there was a big shift in kind of power from the FA held all the power to the players, really, because when you talk about player power, it was all of a sudden we were generating, I suppose, what people want to sponsor, and that was the realization. And obviously it was Dave Beckham and his team kind of understanding that was the case. Me personally, I was just happy to be there. But then I remember people like National Express, trying to think at the time, there was maybe Vauxhall, it might come in slightly later.
Yeah, were you post Green Flag?
Nationwide, Green Flag. These big sponsors were coming in. But then there was like certain things you had to do, but you'd only have to be there for an hour. And for me personally, I was like, I remember these calls coming in to my agent. It was like, oh, so-and-so, Steven Gerrard can't do this National Express one. Can you nip down there? And I was like, okay, keep them coming. I was like, I'll do it. Well, I think it's like me and Martin Keown that were every single one of them.
I was going to say, you definitely done it. I know that.
I remember going over, I think I had to sign a bus at the National Express Centre, which is opposite Twickenham. And obviously this was a really kind of well-paid job. And I remember sitting there with my mate, and he lived in Twickenham at the time, and the National Express bus centre is there. You had to go and sign a bus and take a photo. So I was having a beer with my mate, just said, I've got to go and do this signing over the road. Literally, the pub's there, and then the bus station's there. So he said, all right, I'll just wait for you here then, shall I? And I said, yeah, no worries. So I left my pint, kind of went over, signed this bus, and then came back again. And he was like, well, that was it. And I was like, yeah. And then I just carried on having a beer with him. And I was like, that's quite a lucrative bus signing. I was like, my mate was like, no way. Is that just happened? I was like, yeah.
Bex was the one that started it, wasn't he? Because if you actually go back, you remember him. He was the first one that really broke the mold. Because you remember the picture like with him holding so many pairs of Adidas Predators? And then he's done the Brill Cream, didn't he? With his hair. And it sort of started everyone off on an individual brand's endorsement, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I think with that, and it was in his doc, and we've spoken about it, was obviously the reaction of the manager to the changes that was happening through Beckham with the players in that team and that sort of mix of a slightly older school, I guess. And you guys been at the front of that. It was really interesting hearing about Alex Ferguson and how he kind of reacted to it and probably didn't like it and didn't like his impact on Bex at a certain point. Hence why Bex was lying about going down to London. Did you kind of have the same? And same with you, Sis. Did either of you boys have the same where you were sort of seeing managers that were struggling to kind of keep up with the weirdness of signing buses and things like that?
I think it's been totally embraced now, and it's been like, it's kind of part and parcel of it. People managing their players' social medias, you know, kind of the brand stuff. It's kind of part and parcel of football. But I was in the kind of crossover period where it was like, just concentrate on your football and don't get carried away with all this nonsense that's happening. And it was called nonsense. But I suppose now, you know, I think everyone knows, you see even Jurgen Klopp, you've seen him on the, you know, quite a few kind of ads recently, certainly with his Erdinger beer and stuff like that. Guardiola's done a few
as well. He's done a few, isn't he?
Yeah, I think even the managers are kind of embracing it now, I think, because it's very, very lucrative for everyone, all concerned, really. And I think
that's a strange situation, though, Pete, isn't it? Can you imagine some of your older managers, you know, doing the same types of adverts that you see managers do now?
Oh, you know, you probably turned down over the years, certainly when I was at Liverpool and, you know, England and things like that, you turned down so many things where you think, you know, it'd be great to do, but can I get away with it? You know, it's like a fine balance between can you get away with it, or, you know, are you going to look like you're taking your eye off the ball? Quite often it's such a fine line. And it's only kind of afterwards that, you know, I've done obviously a lot more than I did when I was playing.
Crouch, you talk about fine lines and getting away with it. Obviously, big relationship yourself with Paddy Power, friend of the pod. They do cross the line on a few things in a good way. Has there been things that you've had to turn down or to go, like, I can't do that? Or they've asked you to do things where you just go, absolutely no.
Well, honestly, like some of the things they come up with, like I remember speaking to, you know, obviously we've had him on the pod, the Minister of Mayhem, or, you know, what one of his title along those lines, that's actually on his email, you know, and it's like so-and-so, you know, Minister of Mayhem, it's like his job title, and he'll come up with things and you'd be like, oh, I'm like, I'm not sure I can do that. And he's like, yeah, no worries, we'll try something else. But some of the ideas that they come up with and things like, I'm like, I don't know if they're so close to the bone at times, but that's what makes them so good, because they are, they're funny adverts. And that's why whenever I do something, like, I want to be involved in the kind of creative process of it. Like, you know, for whatever I've done, I've kind of always tried to be across what it's actually going to be. You know, I don't just kind of sign the contract and go, I'm going to do this, and how much are you going to pay me? Like, I want to be across what it's actually going to look like, because I think it needs to be a kind of reflection of me. I think that's why, you know, all the things I've seen, the things you've noted down there, like Bovril, certainly the Ted Baker stuff. Like, the Ted Baker stuff that I did was basically like they were bringing out a tool range. And I was like, well, that's right up my alley, surely. You know, the Bovril stuff was just a lot of fun. I love Bovril. I've drank it since I was a kid.
Gets fun, though, yeah. when it's personal like that. And I get what you're saying about the Paddy Power ads. And also, your dad was sort of in this industry, and so I think you've always got, my perspective of you is, you've always got a really good eye with this stuff. And but you do get involved in the whole creative thing. Like, a recent advert was with Barry from EastEnders actually being married to your wife. Brilliant idea, we all love that. But I think where it gets really fun for you, it must be when it gets really personal, because, like, if you love Bovril, to be able to get paid to endure. That's where this shit gets really fun. We're lucky we get to do that with this podcast to a certain extent as well.
And we've had loads, obviously, on the podcast. You know, it's been amazing. Obviously, making our own beer, potentially trying to make our own spray and A's. That was the one with my mum, for instance. Obviously, me and Abby are like M&S ambassadors, and like that when my mum found out about that, she was like more proud than anything I've ever done. It was like, oh my God, this is incredible. So that was obviously a good thing. It's got to work kind of for both parties. Otherwise it doesn't work because people can see right through something that you're forcing.
Well, look, you must have seen your colleagues do some funny adverts as well. And Sids, what kind of, has there been anything that you've been involved in where you're doing it and thinking this is a bit weird? I mean, you haven't quite done the Michael Owen in a helicopter yet, have you?
No. No.
I'd love to see one of you boys do that.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the Man United one? The wine.
The wine one. Yeah, it was brilliant.
That's one of my favourites. And Jamie Vardy's Thailand trip one is good.
Do you remember the
Casus Diablo or something it's called, isn't it? The Man United one.
Did you remember the was it Gareth South? Was it the Pizza Hut? Was it Gareth Southgate when he missed the penalty and he had a bag on his head?
Yeah.
Bag legendary. On his head. Yeah.
A brown paper bag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's legendary, isn't it? But it's, I mean, looking back on it, he must have got paid a bit of dough for that.
I think when they get it right and the adverts are good, especially during kind of big tournaments, Euros or World Cup tournaments, it's so good because they clearly pump a load of money into it. And there's some amazing adverts that happen around that time. I even think about the old, did you ever see the Jason Scotland Iron Brew advert? Did you boys ever see this? This is a real deep cut from back in the day. And it was a player called Jason Scotland. The idea was Scotland's going to the World Cup. It's him on a bus and drinking Iron Brew. It's such a basic advert. Oh, I really hope someone listening to this knows what this advert is. But there's some legendary adverts that come, especially if the brands are willing to spend the money and... Obviously, you see the obscene Adidas Nike adverts with a kind of plethora of players and you wonder how they actually get all these people in one space and do it. But
they're all good, those ones. I love them. But I do like the piss take ones. Like when you do have like a kind of high budget one. Do you remember the Nike one with Brazil squad when they're at the airport? Yeah. That was a belter, wasn't it? Danielson and Ronaldinho. Brilliant. That. Yeah.
There's been some awesome ones. I mean, I've never been on an advert. I've never, to be fair, like playing wise, profile was never like where Pete was, you know, Champions League and top level. So never really got involved in brands or never really got approached.
Was there none at the clubs? You know, like sometimes the clubs make you do something.
So so the Chelsea one, that was big. We done one for Samsung. At Chelsea. Did I tell you the story about that?
You said about going there and you didn't get off the bus until you'd been given.
Yeah. Didier was getting 75-inch plasmas and I, you know, took a DVD player without a remote control. Dad was fuming. I'll never forget that. He was like, of all the fucking things, you've ordered a DVD player. There was things at clubs. It'd be interesting to see now what people get, like Man City is sponsored by, is it Etihad? Like, or Brighton are sponsored by British Airways, whether they, because flights are bloody expensive now, aren't they?
It's not the Harrods card though, is it, from Al Fayyad?
It's not the Harrods card, no. Yeah, that was a nice one. I've
forgotten about that.
Yeah, I just got the last sort of 18 months of that, 40% off of Harrods. Yeah, they were nice. I mean, I would like a few more maybe individual ones. I don't know, ginger nut biscuits maybe, or...
Well, that's what we're here for now.
Pudding. Suntan lotion.
Pudding.
Oh, God. I mean, we need to look at all of this stuff, don't we?
I remember getting a Rover as well. I remember getting a Rover at Villa. They were sponsored by Rover, MG and Rover. I remember getting a Rover. It was quite nice, actually.
Was that one when you had to have it like on the side of the car as well? I remember players getting it and it Rover sponsors Peter Crouch on the side of the car.
Oh, mate. Well, I remember my mate was a snooker player.
Not on this level.
My mate was a snooker player, had his name on the side of his car. Shocker.
It's a strange one, that, isn't it? Names down the side of the car. Yeah.
Have you seen any players that it's had a real kind of, I don't know, but almost they get carried away with it. It becomes less of a novelty and it's distracted and you've seen them get reined in.
No, not really. Not really. They keep it, a lot of it, under wraps. Mm. They'll just shoot off after training.
The biggest grief that people used to get is, you know, when you see those kind of like, you know, there was a period of a few OK shoots. OK and hello. Like, yeah. Oh my God, some of the grief you'd get if you'd done like an at home.
Because it's fake, isn't it? It's just staged. Oh, it's not
the
natural.
At home pics with you and the wife. The lads used to get a lot of stick for that.
Do you know what? These ones, Pete?
Since I've retired, I think I've done one. When we renewed our vows, we did a few photos.
Do you know why they come under some stick? Because it's the stylist that goes in and says, right, this is what you're wearing. And it's something that you just completely wouldn't wear. And
you're it's like, the clobber, isn't it? I was like, remember the amount of times that OK got brought in if someone had had a little photo shoot. It was like, hold on a minute, have a look at the clobber on him. got no shoes on and like a white linen with some white trousers. Strolling around like the beach or something. That's exactly what I did though when recently, but I wasn't playing, so no one could bring it up.
So what would happen? Would you go into the dressing room and a player would be reading the magazine, that kind of thing?
Oh, standard, man. Yeah, be plastered everywhere, yeah.
Have you seen that show Married to the Game? Yeah.
Yeah, do you know what? I've seen the advert for it, yeah. I know a few people involved.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Have you watched it?
It's close to the line, isn't it?
Well, because I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm guessing the wives or the girlfriends have signed up to the TV show, and then by proxies, I don't think they perhaps get given all the information. The lads are on this. Yeah. And it's wild, some of the stuff they're saying.
Is it? I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I have. I see the Tarkovsky one. That yeah. Done the rounds, wasn't it? About
I saw that.
Can't stop talking about it, can he?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that he's got to be getting stick for that. Surely he's got to be going the next day.
And then I don't know how you get through that. Like, got to have some thick skin there, haven't you?
Who else is in it? So you've got Tarkovsky.
No Mahrez. Yeah. Darby Ward and Mahrez.
How much say, like, what I find interesting about this is you think, the manager should have an element of control over how much attention or anything goes on players. And definitely that control existed a lot more back in the day. And as you're saying, Pete, maybe that's relaxed so much now.
But even the clubs are doing it now. Like, clubs can't say anything now, can they? Like, every club seems to be doing like an Amazon, you know, all or nothing documentary. So the cameras are around through the clubs anyway. So it's like, you know, gone are the days where Alex Ferguson's running the club, doesn't let anyone in, you know, no cameras in and no players to be doing shoot days and this and that. You know, because quite often, I remember speaking to Rafa about it, it's like days off are given as days off. You're supposed to rest and recuperate. It's the reason you're given. You're not given a day off so you can do a media day and, you know, go down to London and spend hours on your feet doing an advert. That's not why the day off was given. You know what I mean? And I suppose now that's just part and parcel for the course.
I mean, if brands were going to come in for you now, what would you be up for?
Yeah, but it's a different situation. Like, I occasionally work with brands on things, and maybe I'm DJing an event, or I don't know if it's the right thing, you do something on social media. But I think there's just something very different about how it is as a footballer. And I've been involved in some of the weirdness. I once had to do, a job came in, they were like, can you host, we want to do a version of like the Great British Bake Off with Alonso and Azpilicueta. And so I go to this place and it's decked out like the Great British Bake Off and I'm Paul Hollywood or something for reasons I still don't really understand. And these poor lads that are brought in for an hour to bake cakes, you know, bizarre. But this
I've done a couple of those. Do you remember, Chris, me and you went to Microsoft, the opening of the new Microsoft store.
We did, yes.
And we played FIFA with Raheem Sterling.
It was, the whole thing's bizarre. We sat there playing FIFA and Raheem Sterling. I wasn't even aware that we were doing that. I don't think it was confusing around. And also, what made that extra brilliant was we were playing with a team of 11 Peter Crouches. They sort of designed it. Do you remember that?
Yeah, yeah. One of the most bizarre experiences ever. That was another one. I just remembered one there. I ended up refereeing a game of FIFA from my bedroom. Stephen Bergwijn versus Mason Mount when he was at Chelsea. And I was basically commentating and refereeing it. I have no idea how that even came about. Yeah, bizarre.
Okay, so what about youngsters that's going to come into the dressing room? Seen a few, especially in football, because you get like, what was it? It'd be like the latest aftershave or, yeah, maybe shaving cream, isn't it? You know, there'd be the older ones that'd be shaving first. Then it's all of a sudden, I remember Mason Mount, when he sort of burst on the scene, he looked like he didn't even have a hair on his face. And now he's, you know, I mean, doing the old sweep the across old the
Gillette
chin.
One. It's the one you constantly see, isn't it? Like, you know, on Sky Sports News or something like that, it's like Raheem Sterling was doing the razor, the Gillette one for years, ages, wasn't it? It was on for. And
I always wonder how they filmed them.
What do you mean?
Well, because Sterling's only got one take there. Do you see what I mean? If you're doing a show...
Once he's gone, he's gone.
That's what I'm saying. Like, and then do you have to like lather up the other side and then go...
Make this a good one.
I've always wondered with them. But why is it always footballers and shaving? Same, do you remember when the Liverpool team had a load of them? It was like the deodorant Nivea, bomb, wasn't it? And they were spraying. Yeah.
Nivea. I did one with L'Oreal. I did it. It was like the wingman thing. It was great, actually. But I remember filming it I had to kind of film on myself during COVID. And I was in my bathroom putting on some cream. And I think my daughter was filming it from the side. And I had to get it in, like, just because I'm worth it. Just because I felt like if I'm doing L'Oreal, I'm never going to get this opportunity again to say it's because I'm worth it. And I did. That was a proud moment.
Strange, confusing moment for your child, though. Basically filming an advert.
Shudder to think what she must have thought.
I'm just thinking now, if I've been in dressing rooms where there's been sort of scandals as well, where...
Well, if something happens off, or even something like major on the pitch, I guess you can lose those brand deals.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've like seen
Eric
it with...
Cantona, for instance, when he done the Kung Fu kick, for instance, whether they dropped some of his sponsors or...
If you're a high-profile person, that's when brands want you, right? But if you're a high-profile person, you're there to be shot at as well and brought down a peg or two. And no one's perfect, are they? So these things are always going to happen.
No, but have you... does it ever make a situation where brands tell you how they want you to behave as a footballer? So you almost have a sort of manager from the brand. Have you ever been told off by Adidas, for example?
Yeah, I've had loads of tellings off because I basically wear the old boots. Like, I'm one of those people that, you know, they bring out a new boot every month, feels like. And I was always like, I've just got into this boot. Like, I'm just getting this one. I'm happy, I'm comfortable with it now. And then there's a fucking new one. And I was constantly wearing the old ones. And then I'd score and I'd just get a call on the Monday, like, you're in the old boot. Just scored, you're in the old boot. And by the end, I was just like, I don't care. You know what I mean? Like, my football is more important to me. And I know there is people out there kind of portraying, and this is what kind of pissed me off with football in general, really, towards the end. People portraying this kind of image that isn't them. You know, like, you see so many players, we were in that dressing room, Sids, weren't we, at Stoke? Like, you'd see players promoting themselves and doing like Instagram videos of them working behind the scenes with personal trainers. And you'd be like, this is all a fucking act. It was just so frustrating. And And, you know, there's obviously someone like come in and gone, right, you need to do this, you need to do that on Instagram. And this is where this whole Back Stronger came from. You know, on our podcast, it was like people promoting after a game. Oh, you know, fans were terrific. Sorry about the performance. We'll be back stronger next week. It was the generic kind of Instagram message. And then the next day on the Monday, it'd be them, you know, with a personal trainer showing how hard they're working, you know, out of the training ground. You're like, it's all bollocks. What a load of bollocks. And you're like, you know, the worst thing is you see fans replying going like, oh, you know, you should be playing, you know, and I just think, I've watched you train and you've been an absolute shambles. Your attitude stinks. You're cancer around the place and you're promoting yourself as if you're like, you know, you should be playing. The reason you're not playing is because your attitude's a disgrace.
Good rant.
Well done. Good rant. Would have happened in my day.
Underneath the video, wouldn't you? But I get what you're saying.
The worst ones are when lads like wear absolute terrible boots or gear and they're just literally grin and banking it because...
Do you think it's disappointing to see players all wearing the same boots? Like, wasn't there something quite nice about being able to pick your own?
Brands now, they're monopolising the market. You know, the new Preds that are coming out, for instance, you know, it comes out in this certain colour. They want all their players to wear that. Same with Nike. But it happens massively when the tournaments come around, like the Euros or the World Cups. When they come around, like the boots, they'll start getting brighter and brighter in colours.
I remember them says, you know, like some of the players, like you say there, they thought the boots was absolutely disgusting. And you think they're getting paid so much money, kind of, you kind of have to wear them. But like, I just couldn't do that. I have to like the boot because I have to feel good in it and I have to feel comfortable in it. I feel like it would have affected my game. Some players are just, it's like a business. It's like not interested, like not bothered.
Yeah, but it is a business. You know, from what you're saying, the incentives are so huge. And equally, is this where you see a rise? I think it's fair to say there's been a rise rather than, I don't think this happened so much, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, of players all having to have their own number and it be a sort of extreme number you know, that's their number and their brand. And it's not just one or two anymore. So many, isn't it?
My thing with certainly when I was growing up, I always remember like Match and Shoot magazine and there'd be like a picture, like a photo shoot of Ryan Giggs and he'd have like the Reebok tracksuit on, the Reebok trainers and he'd be holding like the Reebok boots. And I was like, oh, one day I'm going to get to that level where I'm going to be in Match and I'm going to be like in the gear holding the boots up. That was always like an aim of mine. So I was like, I used to love Match and Shoot magazine.
Yeah. I think Ryan 90 minutes. Have a magazine. I remember buying a Giggs 11 magazine once. Yeah, natural. Unless I'm imagining it, I'm sure he had a magazine. Yeah. I also remember, and this is a strange one, getting on my wall, you know, I used to wind my parents up so much that any spare football stickers you had, so any swapsies, weren't really valuable enough, you know, just sort of the common ones. I'll just go stick them on the wall and stick them on the door and that. But obviously, it destroys the paint, doesn't it? But just cover my walls in these things. And a couple of posters as well that you'd get from Shoot or Match. And I remember having a double, it was the Neville brothers, sort of arms crossed back to back, picture of the Neville brothers on my wall.
I know that photo shoot. I was a football pervert then, so I remember most of the posters. I remember quite a lot of the photo shoots and things like that. I just absolutely love it because I loved kind of stuff. I knew every single player in the Premier League what boots they wore, or who they were sponsored by. I used to love all that.
Do you remember what posters you had on your wall?
Kelly Brook.
Yeah. Kelly Brook.
Football.
whilst we're here, so you had...
Football posters. I had
a Lara Croft one, by the way. You? She's not even real, for fuck's sake.
Oh, what? Not even an actress. Sid, it was just...
I had a poster on my wall, right, which was a 3D picture of Lara Croft. So it was massive. And like, so you could only see it by wearing the red and blue glasses. I remember my poor mum came in one day and I was sat there looking at the picture with my red and blue glasses. Like, she's thinking, what have I produced here?
Wow. Not the old in-betweeners one where his hand's gone dead and he can't turn the laptop off.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't, just to be clear, again, if it was like another podcast, I'm having to claim, you know, I wasn't. But all the same, it's not what you want to see from your child, just red and blue glasses on staring at a picture of an animated. She's not even real.
Not even real.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
So Crouchy, over 35's World Cup, possibility of this being done in the summer in Newcastle, the city of love. It's a seven-a-side tournament, I believe, from all the nations that have won the World Cup. So me and Crouchy are involved in a WhatsApp group that Steve McManaman started up. And I think this has got some legs. Crouch,
I do, mate. Yeah, if all the players that play who have been mentioned like playing it, it'd be top players, and I think it'll be really competitive. Like, all the boys will want to be involved and want to win it as well. So yeah, I think it's a great idea.
Who's in the WhatsApp group?
So I was playing golf and my phone was going berserk, and I was like, "What's going on here?" So I was looking at it, and there was the names in this WhatsApp group. Like, obviously Steve McManaman started it. Michael Owen was in there. Joe Cole, Rio, David James, Crouchy, myself, Jolyn Lescott, Paul Scholes was in there. It was just, and I was like, first of all, my first thought was, what am I even doing in this group? I don't even belong in this group. And then there was a few people throwing a few memes out, stretching already, because this has got some
England call-up.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's if it goes ahead, it's going to be incredible. I mean, look, these are some of the nations.
I've not heard of this, sorry. What is this? This is an over 35.
This is an over 35.
The first year it happens.
First year it happens. World Cup. The nations that have won it. So we've got listed here: England, Argentina, Brazil, France, Germany, Italy, Spain, Uruguay. And just some of the names here again: Cambiasso, Crespo, Zabaleta from Argentina, Emerson, Ronaldinho, Rivaldo, Cafu, Roberto Carlos from Brazil, France, Thierry Henry, Desailly, Ozil, you know, from Germany, Materazzi, Cannavaro, Totti from Italy. I mean, if they get it going, Pete, it'll
sounds
just be
aggressive.
Oh, it's unreal. I'm going to get absolutely spanked.
Is this competitive? Is this fun?
It will be, yeah. This will be competitive if it goes ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's something, I guess, really nice about feeling that you can be retired from the game, right, Pete, and be able to play in. Do you know what I mean?
Like, well, I imagine it will draw a big crowd in as well. It'll be exciting to be kind of feel like you're back involved in games that matter.
Is there an upper limit to the age? I'm just thinking, over 35s, there's decent 35, not that you boys aren't it, but do you know what I mean? There's still people playing. I'm even looking at Pepe the other day. Did you
41.
See him? 41. He was running the whole time. Like, the passion.
I mean, look, there's no limit. It can go to, from 35 onwards. I mean, it's sounding like it's got some legs in it. Hopefully it can become fruitful, because that would be brilliant. Start off and then carry that on. But like Pete says there, it would be like the players would be up for it.
Should we, I think we've got time for a quick message.
Yes.
By the way, remember to send us in any messages, any questions for the boys, anything you want to ask about the podcast or make us aware of. You can always get us in the DMs, but if you want to be super organized, just send us an email, peter.crouch@acast.com. We can't stress enough, any questions, any way you want to get involved in this podcast, we love hearing from you. This is a message from someone called T. says, lads, what's the definition of an appearance for it to count against the appearance bonus? Is there a minimum time in a match, or does coming on as a sub at the last minute count as an appearance? I've wondered that.
Yeah, I think this differs, doesn't it, from club to club. I think at the start, back in the day, and up to a point more recently, I think it was all the same. Up until, because managers are throwing players on, obviously, with what goes on in the game, you know. But then obviously from a financial point of view, is upstairs looking at it going, they're throwing this player on for 2 minutes at the end, or even 60 seconds, and they're going to be getting the same win bonus as all the others. So then it come down to, if you come on with 15 minutes to go, or if you come on before the 75th minute, you get allocated the full bonus. If you come on after the 75th minute, last 15, you'd be getting a fraction of the win bonus. Is that right, Pete? Like,
yeah,
some of the clubs?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I always remember, do you remember a couple of lads coming on, and, you know, the manager putting like a young lad on at the end of a game when you've won it already, and kind of that young lad being absolutely buzzing. You can tell.
Yeah.
That used to happen quite a bit. Whereas I wouldn't be able to tell you now. I just assumed that a win bonus is. I remember actually towards the end of my Premier League career, it was, even if you're on the bench, the match day squad got the bonus. So it's like, we're all a team, we're all part of it.
I guess it's the same though, that excitement for away from the bonus, just getting that cap. I say this as you've got how many England caps behind you there, Peter?
Yeah, there's 30 there, but there's 12 upstairs. So it didn't go with the feng shui, 42.
You didn't want to break into a third frame, did you?
Yeah, well, I think we are doing it, but I think I've lost a few. So they're upstairs. So I'm actually in the process of writing to the FA to try and get a few more. They said it'd be fine. So just the ones that I'm missing.
That's amazing. So if you contact the FA trying to get those caps, do you have to give proof that you played? Like, do you personally have to send over clips of you playing in those games?
I'm pretty sure the proof's out there. I think the FA know more than fucking I know. But yeah, no, I'm really proud of them, to be fair. Ab's had this kind of, the office kind of put round in a different way. It looks good, but they're right behind me now. And that's actually my book, my first book behind, they're mounted on.
Look, T, hopefully that answers your question. And yeah, any questions like that, we cover so much about football on this podcast that I think sometimes just getting some of those basic questions, like those things, the boys can clarify it. So always feel free to get in touch. peter.crouch@acast.com. We keep getting sent these 11s every week. This has been a thing that we now do. I think every episode of this podcast, there's a different theme. People almost decide the themes for themselves, which is amazing. Mm. Which one would you like to feature today, Pete?
Well, yeah, you know, obviously, like off the back of Liam Pitchford being an ambassador of our podcast, there was an Olympics 11 here from Alex. Jack Shot Putland.
Nice.
Yeah, the right back here is Luke Sailing, obviously. Centre back's got Maina Figueroa skating. Figueroa skating, sorry. Purvis Estupinian. Equestupinian, sorry. Nice. Purvis Equestupinian. Very nice. Tongue twister. Ryan Babel Tennis.
That's a belter.
Ryan Babel Tennis. Well, Mason Mountain Biking. Emil Smith Rowing. Enjoy that one. Raheem Curling.
Yeah. Nice little Winter Olympics one.
Very nice. Cameron Archery.
This is great.
Badminton. Badminton. That doesn't look right on paper. Badminton. Wow. That's a good one, that.
That's great.
Okay. Beach Volleyball Watkins. Ryan Yates Boarding. Kyle Water Polos. Shane Long Jump.
Super. Right, that's more like it.
100 meter crouch. Nice. Hal Robson Kanu.
Oh, canoe. Great. Yeah. That's good. Obviously,
you've missed it.
So we'll have to throw in, I think there are two we've done before. I think you've got Steve Skeedwell, of course.
Yes.
For the Winter Olympics. Yeah. And Steve Swimwell for the summer.
Oh my God.
So what's the latest with Liam Pitchford then? Of do we know Pete? Has he been in contact?
Yeah.
Well, this is the lad who looks like Peter
Crouch. I think his guys...
Yes.
I think the guys have been in touch. And yeah, we're hoping that he's going to say yes. Actually, funny on the endorsements episode here, that hopefully he'll be an Olympic ambassador for the podcast this year.
Well, look, sorry no Eric Cantona today. Hopefully he will be back stronger, for want of a better phrase, soon. And we'll be interested to see when that can be. But yeah, hopefully soon. Hopefully you've enjoyed this episode. Mm. Yeah. Any other business, lads?
No, all good, lads. All good. Hopefully I'll Chumbawamba in the studio soon.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
This episode is brought to you by aloadofpricks.net. We are the experts in selling houses. Chris couldn't sell his house. What did you do, Chris?
I couldn't sell my house for love nor money, Crouchy. Three different offers I had, all at the last minute, fell through. I turned round to my wife and said, "What can we do to sell this house? Every estate agent is failing us." Then I told her, "Let's go to aloadofpricks.net."
But Chris, what did a load of pricks do for you?
They were brilliant, Crouchy. They sold my house right away. The sign had barely gone up when a well-dressed gentleman came along and offered me twice the asking price.
Chris, would you use a load of pricks again?
I'd use them every time, Crouchy.
Go to loadofpricks.net. They will sell your house like no other. Load of pricks, loadofpricks.net.